we all appreciate our mothers being there when we're down. And generally, if no one else is there for us, our mothers are. Well, I'd like to discuss with you this matter that Jesus spoke about when he said, "By this all will know you are my disciples." I brought along with me something that reminds me of my mother. See, my mother today doesn't speak to me. She belongs to a religious organization that has a strong shunning policy, and so she believes that it's against God's law to talk to someone like me because I don't accept what they teach and believe. And so I have no contact with her, but I do have fond memories of times past, and so I brought along with me a list of rules that sort of remind me of the rules my mother made up when I was a young boy. What about your house? Did your mother make rules? Usually mothers are the ones that make most of the rules, and that's the way it ought to be. They're the ones who make a house a home. What kind of rules did your mother have? Well, my mother had rules something like these. These are not her rules, but it seems like she had them memorized. If you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you unlock it, lock it. If you move it, put it back. If it belongs to someone else and you want it, get permission. If you borrow it, return it. If you don't know how to operate it, leave it alone. If you use it, take care of it. If you break it, repair it. If you can't fix it, call someone who can. If you mess it up, clean it up. If it'll brighten someone's day, say it. Oh, my mother had a lot of other rules, and boy, did we have to abide by them, or when my dad got home, he'd reinforce what Mom had said during the day. Why is it our fathers and mothers make rules like these? Well, it's because they love us. They want the best for us. They want our lives to turn out okay. They want us to be safe, and they want us to enjoy a loving life. Well, you know, God is very much like our mothers, and he makes rules too. And that's why we have the Bible. In the Bible, we have the commandments of God. And in the Bible, we also have the commandments of Jesus, because Jesus loves us too. And Jesus said, "I'm giving you a new commandment." And what was that commandment? Why did he give it? Well, he wanted the best that we possibly could have in our lives. Now, a teacher was talking to her young pupils, and she said, "Johnny, do you think you could explain to the class the difference between like and love?" Well, Johnny, he knew the difference. He says, "I like my parents, but I love Hershey bars." And, of course, as grown-ups, we know he had it the other way around. We can't love a Hershey bar, but we sure can love our parents. Today's Mother's Day, and it's a day when we show our mothers that they are at least as important to us as a Hershey bar. Actually, we ought to have more than just one Mother's Day in a year. Every day ought to be Mother's Day. One mom had a very revealing experience one Mother's Day. Her two children ordered her to stay in bed. So she lay there looking forward to being brought her breakfast, and she could smell the aroma of the bacon floating up from the kitchen. And at last, the children called her to come downstairs. And there she found them sitting around the table, each with a big plate of bacon and eggs. And one of them explained, "As a Mother's Day surprise, we've cooked our own breakfast." Well, that says bundles, I'm sure. And who in the world doesn't do more for us than our mom? And who's taken for granted more than our mom? It's only right that we devote a day, at least a day, each year in honor of those women who have devoted their lives to their family, to their church, and most importantly, to us, their children. I've chosen John 13:34-35 as the text upon which to speak this morning. And what we read there could easily be said about being a good mother. But actually, it's aimed at the whole Christian family, fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters, every one of us. Now, Jesus, when he spoke these words, is looking forward to the cross, dying there. There he'll glorify God by his perfect obedience to God's plan. Now he's calling his disciples to that kind of perfect obedience. And what is this perfect obedience to which he calls them? Here's what we read at John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, there are three basic points we learn from this passage, and the first is very obvious. It's not an option that we love one another. Jesus says, I'm giving you a new commandment. Now, we can picture him as our future king, and even now as our Lord and Master. How does a Lord and a Master and a king speak to his subjects when he wants them, when he really wants them to do something, and he wants them to pay attention and don't neglect to do what he orders? I'm giving you a new commandment. You better obey. Now that's how we ought to take what Jesus is saying here. There's no getting around it. We are obligated. It's an order. And we are nothing more, nothing less than rebels if we disobey this order of our Lord. He's not giving us a suggestion. He's not recommending something. He's giving us a commandment. And why is it a commandment? It's a commandment because there's a part of every one of us that does rebel against the idea of pure, unconditional love. Despite the example that every one of us has most likely received from our mother's love for us, there is a part of us that says, that kind of love is out of place in the world in which I want to live. There's a part within all of us that says, true love is great up to a point. Some time ago, a man was describing his father to me, and he said that his father was a kind man, a generous man. He was a man that would do anything for his friends. But if he didn't like you, look out. He was just the opposite. Now, that's a very sad description of any man or woman, any person. I felt sorry for the son who was telling me this about his father. I felt sorry for him because he knew there was something not quite right with his father. And I felt sorry for his father, too, because the father was already in his 70s. And at that age, he still had not learned what love is all about. And I felt sorry, too, for the people that this man dealt with all through those 70-some years. These people had failed to be touched through this man by the love of God. And if they did learn anything from him, they learned that they did not matter, that they meant nothing to him. They were unimportant. And so this is why we see that Jesus made it a commandment that we love one another. This is a perfect example of why we need commandments like this. If we don't have a command like this from Jesus, our Master, and the particular nature of this command, we're not going to love one another the way Jesus loved us. Many of us might end up thinking that it's nice, it's good to love our family and our friends, but we don't need to go beyond that. It's okay to hate, to despise, or simply ignore everyone else. Jesus forbids that. He commands us not to be like that. So we're called on to love others in the way that Christ loves us. We're called to love our brothers and sisters in the way that mothers love their children. We're called to love without condition, to care for, and to pray for others. Love one another. And that's regardless of what attitude they have toward us. It's regardless of what they may or may not deserve from us. It's regardless of whether or not they're related to us by blood or by ties of affection and common interest. The second thing I want us all to see from this text is this: our ability to love one another is derived from our relationship with God through Christ. We love, the Apostle John says, because He first loved us. If God did not first love us, we wouldn't know how to love, and we wouldn't love anybody. But we love because He first loved us. We're able to love because God loves us. Now, this is critical to be understood. Our ability to live out the Christian life is impaired unless we see clearly where our love comes from. We cannot obey Jesus' command if we don't understand where love, true love, really comes from. Love doesn't just happen in a vacuum. It doesn't just come out of our hearts naturally. We learn how to love by observing the love we see in others. And that's why it's so important that God gave us, as one of the first persons we see when we're born and for the weeks thereafter, our mother. Our mother loves us like nobody else ever will. And God made it that way. And so He's like a mother and a father. The more we get to know Him, the more loving we will be. We draw our ability to love by communication with God, by praying to Him. We grow in our ability to love by reading about Him in His Word, the Bible, and reading about Jesus and studying their words. But we also improve in our ability to love by being where God's people are. These are others who are developing their relationship with God. And as we observe their loving ways, that enhances the love that's in our hearts. A new commandment I give to you, and the word for you is in the plural, that you love one another as I have loved you, plural, so you also should love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So love has to be practiced not just one-to-one, but we have to love many. We have to love others, and not just a few. Now, there's a third thing I'd like us all to note about love in this text, and that's this: we give our best witness to the world when we are loving people. By this, Jesus said, all will know, and He meant beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are my disciples if you have love among yourselves. So if we're bickering and finding fault and gossiping and complaining about one another, people are not going to be attracted to our message or to our church or to us as Christians. We may claim to be Christian, but we may have a long way to go to prove that we really are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands are to love their wives in a particular way. You know, they're told to love their wives as they love their own bodies. In the world today, many husbands are known to abuse the bodies of their wives. Just about every day, we read of not just one or two, but several cases in the newspaper about husbands abusing their wives or their children. So we need the commandments of Jesus. We need the reminders. We need to come to church to hear these things. We need to read God's Word, the Bible. We need to talk to God about this. Today, there's a lot of things that can get us all riled up and angry at those closest and even those dearest to us. And with the proliferation of guns and other weapons today. People fly off the handle and use these and do damage to those that they're supposed to love. So Mother's Day is a good day for all of us to stop and think about our obligation, our duty to one another, to love one another. And this is not just a suggestion, this is an order. There are a lot of things that could be said in addition to what I've said today. I thought we might have time to read a poem or two, but just in case, I've inserted some in the bulletin. You can read these later on in the day. But motherhood is something that is very precious in the eyes of God. He gave every one of us a mother. In some cases, people don't get to see their mother. Their mothers die in childbirth in some cases, and the Bible gives us examples of that. But God has given us a mother. And whether she's dead or alive, whether she will speak to us or not speak to us, the order of God, the commandment of God, even before Jesus was born, was to honor not just your father, but your mother too. There's another tendency in the world today that we want to avoid. Husbands must be very careful to show love for their wives and their children, their families. But we must not go to the other extreme when we think about husbands abusing their families and think that we ought to elevate womanhood above manhood. There are some who call themselves feminists today who feel that women ought to be the only ones running this world, ruling the world. The Bible recommends a balance. Men are not better than women, and women are not better than men. God created them in the beginning to be counterparts for one another. Both were to be a blessing, not to themselves, but to one another, to each other. And so husbands ought to be loving their wives, and wives ought to be loving their husbands. There should not be the battle of the sexes that goes on in the world, but there ought to be a mutual caring for one another, a building up of one another, of thinking that the other is better than I am. And that is scriptural. That is the way we all ought to be living, not just within the family, but here in the church and in the community. So may God bless each and every one of us as we remember the words of Jesus, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."